What does that sound, you ask? From the number one
station. Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Sit back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Life in prison, mind you. Mike Tyson joins us this morning as a young man headed for a heavyweight crown. And are you going to be heavyweight champion one day?
Excuse me, say it with one.
Are you going to be heavyweight champion one day?
Most definitely. As good as I know, two's going to follow one day.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think you're unbeatable?
No one's unbeatable.
What's it going to take to beat you?
It's going to take what's not around today. And it's going to be a long time.
Potentially, just how good can you be? Like, have you thought much about it?
Well,
Madison Square Garden, this one, the gentleman lasted into the second round. How important was it to you that that fight was at the Garden?
It had no significance at all, Brian.
Didn't matter?
None at all. I'm a professional, and I take everything as a professional takes it. If it was held in some little swamp lake city in Utah, it would mean the same thing. It's a business.
It's tasty. Too tasty.
Yeah, what's good? What is up, everybody? Goldemind here, and welcome to another episode of the Rec Show Podcast, man. A podcast dedicated to beat makers, them mutants from around the world, alright? Yo, we are on episode number 57. I appreciate y'all tapping in with me, man. Sharing this all over the social medias and over all over the internets and all that stuff, man. And yeah, man, we in it for another week. Sit back, relax, you know what I mean? Yo, 57. I can't believe we on 57 episodes, man. Oh my gosh. Time be fine when you're having fun, man. But yo, you know what I mean? Let me start it off right, yo. I hope everybody's counting their blessings and not their problems. Hey, you. Person that you, yeah, you riding to this, you got your earphones and you listening to my voice right now, man. I hope you got a smile on your face because you're alive right now. You know what I mean? Whatever problems that you think are big right now, maybe the next day, 2 days, weeks later, they might not be so big, man. So, you know what I mean? I just want to send some encouragement to or towards you and let you know that, yo, everything's gonna be all right, man. Everything's gonna work out the way it's supposed to, all right? But anyway, man, let's get to it, man. We are tapping in with a Philadelphia, Pennsylvania native, man. I've been listening to his beats on the FABC volumes, his flips for for DiBiase's flip session, flip a beat sessions. Yeah, man. Yo, I've been seeing them all over the place, man. So I had to tap in with him, man. I paid attention to his last two Bandcamp releases, which were amazing. And y'all gonna hear parts of them today and throughout the interview process. But yeah, man. Koala Gang, SP44, FL Studio Gang. Yeah, man. Y'all give it up for the one and only Filth Spector. Alright, Filth Spector, welcome to the show, man. So we're gonna hear from him, hear about his music, hear about his journey in music and life, and you know what I mean, just get to know all of our beat maker, you know what I mean, compadres. I hope I'm using that in the right term. Anyway, yo, I'm bugging out right now, yo. But yo, let's get into it, man. Yo, oh, by the way, man, let me tell y'all something, man. If y'all not paying attention to Raz Fresco and what he's doing over there at Baker's Club, man, you're slipping. You're sleeping on yourself. You're playing yourself. Get hit, man. Tap in. Plug in. Stay connected, all right, to Baker's Club over there, Flip a Beat Club, Raz Fresco, everything he's doing, man. This guy's freaking machine, man. But yeah, man, you listening to new instrumental project that he put out on Baker's Club as well, man. So I'm gonna leave a link in the description to it. And shout out to Raz Fresco, man, and everything they're doing over there. And I'm on my way to your website to buy that new joint that you got out with Chef Raekwon, man, the God. So yeah, just had to plug that real quick. But yo, we gonna be back. Y'all listen. And I hope y'all enjoy, man. Alright, peace and love, yo.
This is Filth Spector, and you're plugged into the Rec Show podcast with Golden Mind.
Okay, we're back with the OJs.
Let's go!
Once again, this is episode number 57 of the Rec Show podcast, man, with Filth Spector, man. Yo, we're going to jump right into the interview. Once again, welcome, Filth Spector. Yo, so I always got to start it off like this, man. So for the B-heads and the internets who might not know you, please go ahead and introduce yourself, where you're from, what your name means, and, you know, how your name was created and associated collectives that you may be a part of.
Yo, my name's Dan. I'm from Northeast Philadelphia originally, but now I'm living right over the bridge in New Jersey, and I make beats under the name Filth Spectre. My name's a play on the name of the infamous producer, Phil Spector, and it was given to me by my friends when I was in college. We had a group in college called Gnarlyhead, and we used to record using the school's equipment. And one day we were kind of messing around in the studio, and I jokingly said that I was going to lock them in the booth until they finished recording for the day. And they commented that it sounded like something Phil Spector would do. Which reminds me of a story about Phil Spector locking up Johnny Ramone in the studio at gunpoint and making him do like 100 takes or something crazy for their song Rock and Roll High School.
Yo, I did hear a music guy doing that. Yo, I didn't think that was real, but yo, that is real though. Actually, listening to it as you tell it, and I researched it. Yo, man, but yo, let me find out you staying over in Camden. So which bridge? I gotta find out which bridge you staying over. Is it the Ben Franklin, the Walt Whitman, Tacony Palmyra? I just gotta find out which one it is, man. But anyway, yo, let's jump right into this interview. That your name is cool, man. So how did you begin your journey into music and, you know, sampling, yo?
I've always been super into music. Taping songs off the radio, making tapes, and then once my family got a computer, I was always on there trying to download music all the time. I got a bass guitar when I was in high school and taught myself to play by learning Dr. Dre songs and Iggy and the Stooges songs, which is pretty much my musical taste summed up right there. Throughout high school and college, and even now, my friends and I had various punk bands where we would also try to learn how to play some of our favorite hip-hop songs, too. Once I figured out that all the Dr. Dre songs I loved were originally Funkadelic samples and figured out some Beastie Boys samples, I got pretty obsessed with figuring out the samples to all my favorite rap songs and starting to want to make beats. In college, I had a music class, and luckily a classmate of mine had a copy of FL Studio and taught me how to use it.
That's dope, man. Yo, so, like, I think that's how everybody gets put on, man. Like, honestly, the crazy thing is we all want to do it, and it just takes that one person to spark that interest, you know what I'm saying? Like, to see, like, yo, oh, this is how you doing it? Oh, can you show me? And people are more than willing to be like, yo, I'll show you. Come on, yo. So, that's what I love about the B community, man. Like, ain't no ego. If there is ego, man, I don't hear about it. But majority of the time, man, it's love, man. It's sharing. It's community building. It's all stuff like that. You know what I mean? So much respect to your roommates and stuff like that for putting you on, man. So, okay, who in your family, your friends put you on to, like, certain genres or and what were the genres that you were, you know, were listening to with your family or friends?
I guess my musical tastes kind of start with my parents. My dad's into classic rock, new wave, and soul music like Motown and like Philly soul records. And then my mom's into disco and soul music too, but also like really bad show tunes. And then growing up, I got into my favorite band, Beastie Boys, which kind of led to my taste in punk rock, hip hop, old funk music, and kind of finding like early crate digging, finding stuff that people may not have heard before.
I could never get into the Beastie Boys. I don't know why. I hope y'all don't kill me for that, man. Yo, but I always go back and re-listen to an album or something like that. But if y'all can suggest one Beastie Boy album, like if it's a first time listener, which Beastie Boy album would you want me to listen to from start to finish and then go into the whole Beastie Boys discography that way, you know what I mean? So let me know in the comments, man. Alright, so what's one moment that sparked your interest in creating your own beats? And then when did you know it was time to let the internets hear your beats and and your flips.
Like I mentioned earlier, I've always had an interest in music, playing bass in bands and stuff. But I guess what really sparked my interest in making my own beats was seeing a friend from my music class in college making beats on FL Studio. Once I saw that, I was like, yo, you gotta show me how to do that. And once I figured that out, how to do that well enough where it wasn't super embarrassing for other people to hear, I started showing my friends what I was making, and we eventually started a group called Gnarlyhood. We recorded 2 EPs while we were in college, and then also during that time I started making music with another friend of mine who makes music under the name Tay Hiver. But after graduation and starting to work both a full-time job and a part-time job, I kind of stopped making beats for a while, up until kind of the start of the pandemic. Once the pandemic hit, I kind of started making beats again just to have something to do while we were all stuck inside. I got Ableton, learned how to use it, and shared a few things I made with my friend, who told me that they kind of reminded him of stuff that would be on Beastie Boys Paul's Boutique album, which sparked the idea of me trying to make a full remix of that album, which is one of my all-time favorites. That was my COVID project to keep me sane, and I finally released it this past January on my Bandcamp page. Also during COVID, I discovered DiBiase's Flip Sessions, and through that, the Flip a Beat Club, and I've been making beats regularly ever since.
Yeah, man. Yo, shout out to DiBiase for the, you know, the creative outlets that he started, man. Just trying to build a community around beat making and collaborating and stuff like that, man. So yeah, man, pay attention to those Flip a Beat sessions, them group sessions, Flip a Beat Club. There's some other ones, man. Oh, Koala, beat Flip Sessions. What's another one that's out right now? Ah, man, I can't even think of the name, but yeah, man. So I know the pandemic like put everybody in kind of like, well, shit. Now we can actually slow down and do what we want to do. Oh, okay. Let me get back into what I was really doing, what was making me happy, type of thing. You know what I mean? So that was a good thing about the pandemic. But now that, you know, everything opened back up again, I hope everybody didn't go back to the way it was before, which was just existing, you know what I mean? And not doing what you really loved, and not doing what really inspired you, not doing what really brought you joy and peace of mind, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know you may not be able to do it 100% all day, every day, you know, because, you know, when you got real world bills to pay, and if you don't, you know what I mean, you're gonna be out on the street. But you know what I mean, I hope everybody's taking care of that part. But yo, okay, so can you name one beat that comes to mind as the greatest of all time? You know, do you know like what beat maker, music producer flipped that beat into something amazing?
I think my idea of what the greatest beat of all time is probably changes all the time. But I vividly remember Pete Rock and CL Smooth's song, They Reminisced Over You, playing on the video game NBA Street, and really needing to know what that was and who that was. Pete Rock's probably my all-time favorite producer.
Man, yo, shout out to Pete Rock, man, CL Smooth, yo. I remember hearing that on the radio on Power 99 FM. They was blasting that all day, every day. I think we had another channel in on the East Coast too, man. No, I think it was 102.3. I can't remember, yo. It was like a competing one with Power 99 FM. But anyway, man, getting back into the interview, man. So can you recommend some must-see, read, or listen content for my listeners on their journey in beats and music. And it can be any documentary, a book, a YouTube tutorial, or a podcast such as this. You know what I mean? Shameless plug. Go ahead. Subscribe.
Some resources that I definitely recommend to beat makers or people who are interested in learning how to make beats are Jay Filt's Very Sick Beats YouTube channel, SP Vids on YouTube, and then just for anybody interested in music, Dan Charna's book Dilla Time is fantastic. I'm probably forgetting some, but those have been crucial. If it wasn't for DiBiase's 404 Masterclass on YouTube and the videos on SP Vids and Jay Filt's pages, I'd probably still be lost on a 404.
Yeah, man. I still haven't looked at the DiBiase Masterclass for the 404 yet, just because I've been moving around. But I will get to it. I definitely have it saved in my watch later for YouTube. But yeah, all good recommendations as well, man. So I'm gonna put every single link to what he's what Phil Spector recommended in the description of this show, so y'all can easily just tap and go, you know what I mean, and see what he's talking about. All right, but yo, man, from your social media content, man, can you use the SP404SX or Koala Sampler, and you create obviously some soulful beats, man. But why do you think it's important for beat makers to learn multiple DAWs and gear? Just like DiBiase recommends, man, not to be just a one trick pony. You know what I'm saying? And then what other musical equipment or DAWs do you use to craft your beats, and which one is most important to you, man?
I think it's important to create on whatever you feel most comfortable on, whether that's hardware or software. I started out on FL Studio, then a friend said to check out Ableton, and the band I'm in also uses Ableton to record, so it just made sense to try to switch over. I was definitely overwhelmed at first, but thankfully there's a ton of YouTube tutorials on Ableton. Then towards the end of last summer, I decided I wanted to try a hardware sampler, and the 404 seemed like a perfect fit due to its price and versatility. Like, I can use it for sampling and making beats, but I can also use it for my band as well. And then more recently, I downloaded Koala Sampler. I kept seeing people use it on Instagram and Twitter and figured it's $5. I might as well check this out. And I've really enjoyed the workflow and being able to create while I'm away from my computer or wherever I am. Other than Koala, Ableton, and my 404, I have my bass guitar and a MIDI keyboard I use sometimes, but I'm not much of like a gearhead. As for using different DAWs and samplers, I remember DiBiase saying something about mastering all the different chambers. So I guess that's kind of what inspired me to learn how to make beats on other equipment. But really, I just feel like it's important to create on whatever you have and feel comfortable on. If it sounds good, it sounds good.
Master all the chambers, man. Yo, I still, to this day, I still remember DiBiase. I think he put it on Twitter, I think, or it might have been in one of the videos or something like that, but that's when he said that, man. So, yo, DiBiase, yo, you wanted to, you know what I mean, the senseis, bruh. You know what I mean? Whether you want to believe it or not, man, you're one of the senseis. You're teaching us, man. So we appreciate you, bruh. And we thank you. All right, thank you. And so, you know what I mean? Let me ask that. This is a completely different question that I'm asking, but, you know, I just got to ask this question just for people that may not know. Like, and you participated in like a bunch of different, you know, like showcases or events like Flip a Beat Club, DiBiase's Flip Sessions with Serato Studio, Platform Collections, the Beat Show, Beat Block Showcases, Koala Flip Showcases. So, like, why did you start participating in these? And which one of these? And what's one thing beatmakers should know about taking part in the events, such as the ones that I just formally named?
Flip a Beat Club, DiBiase's Flip Sessions for Serato Kitchen, Loop Sessions, Beat Block TV, Koala Flip Sessions, and all those are great opportunities to make other beatmakers get your music heard, and it's also just great practice for beatmaking. I first started out as a spectator because I was too nervous to share the beats I was making because I was just new to starting to make beats again. But the communities on those sessions were always so supportive, and it's not a beat battle or a competition. It's just a group of beat makers getting together to make and share their beats with each other. So I definitely encourage anyone who's interested in making beats to check those out. I've learned so much and met so many great beat makers through those.
Yeah, man, I would recommend as well, man. If you haven't seen anything, go to my previous episodes, 56 to the first one, man. I leave a link for every episode to the recommendations to what every artist that I've had on the show is doing, man. So take part in it, man. It's free. You know what I mean? It's not an ego thing. You don't got to feel bad about if your beat sounds good or bad. It's just practice. You know what I'm saying? So get out there, man. Put yourself out there. You just never know who listening, man. So go out there, man. So let me ask you this. What are your muses or your inspiration when it comes to creating music? And then, you know, I know you sample because, you know, from your Philip Spector Presents Philadelphia Volumes 1 and 2. What are your favorite decade, or what is your favorite decade to sample from as well?
It's hard to narrow down my inspirations for making beats, but I'd probably say it's Beastie Boys, Pete Rock, Dilla, Q-Tip, RZA, Madlib, and Ninth Wonder. I'd say my favorite decade to sample is probably the 70s. I've been working on a beat tape series going through the Philadelphia International Records discography from the beginning of the label and trying to make at least one beat per album on their discography. Volumes 1 and 2 are out now on my Bandcamp, and I'm actively working on Volume 3.
Yeah, man. Yo, I'm digging what you're doing. Volume 1 and Volume 2, all fire. I feel like you did another... leveled up on level 2, you know what I'm saying? So I can just imagine what level 3 is going to be like. So, but yeah, man, your muses, man, like Ninth Wonder, like, oh, yo, every single person you name, man, is a teacher, and it has inspired us. And to this day, they still inspiring us, yo. So thank y'all, man. Okay, this is a history lesson, man. So, four pillars of hip-hop: DJing, MCing, breaking, graphing, right? Which element did you begin your journey with? And then how did it affect your life when you discovered that pillar and that it was even hip-hop? Because you probably didn't even know at that time.
I'd say the pillar of hip-hop that affected me most was definitely DJing. Once I figured out what sampling was and how hip-hop songs were made, I became obsessed with figuring out how my favorite hip-hop songs were created. And then once I had a laptop at FL Studio from a friend, I had to start trying to make stuff myself.
We'll be right back. once again, we on episode 57 with Phil Spector, man, Philadelphia-based beat maker. You know, frequent Flip a Beat Club, Koala, DiBiase, Flip a Beat Sessions. Yeah, man. Collaborator. I know you put like Pete Rock. I know you said Knife Wonder. I know you said some other names in there, man, as well. But I just want to figure out, like, okay, can you name your childhood, teenager, and adult beat maker superheroes, and tell us why they were so important at these specific times in your life? And Major Keeler, no genre is off limits. All right.
I kind of touched on this earlier with who my beat making inspirations were, but I think as a kid, my beat maker heroes were probably Beastie Boys and Dr. Dre. And then once I was in high school, getting into Wu-Tang Clan, so RZA, Pete Rock, Q-Tip, Madlib, and then in college, J Dilla and Ninth Wonder. But I'd say now, my biggest inspiration as a beat maker is probably DiBiase. He's got incredible beats. He blends classic boom bap sounds with more modern styles. And then outside of that, just everything he does for the beat making community, from running the Flip Sessions, his work with Mons Rock at Flip a Beat, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can't go wrong with DiBiase, yo. So shout out to DiBiase, man. Shout out to the RZA, you know, everybody you name, man. Like, all dope teachers, dope inspirations, still doing their thing and doing amazing things, man. So we appreciate you. So I wanted to definitely highlight a couple of your beat tapes or your albums, which are Filth Spector Presents the Sounds of Philadelphia Soul Volume 1 and Volume 2. But I want to know, like, I mean, you kind of touched on it already. You were going back in the discography of a record label, but what were your inspirations behind those dope projects, and how did they come together so beautifully?
The first project I put out when I started making beats again was my remix project of the Beastie Boys Paul's Boutique album. And then after that, I started my Philadelphia International Records beat tape series. The inspiration for this series is being from Philadelphia and growing up hearing all those great Gamble and Huff songs constantly. So far, the reception to Volumes 1 and 2 has been pretty positive. I'm just glad people are enjoying the beats, and then hopefully more people check out and enjoy the rest of the series when it comes out.
Life. nobody hits you, what your books like. My composition like novels, every page is a guideline of survival. Fuck my rivals, what they look like. Haters, critics, and nitpickers, realest, fuck with us. You hate kick rocks, nigga, my mind sees the planet, the music in the way. Some people speculate that that's been getting in the way. Has my vision distorted my reality? I'd rather be the enlightened peasant than blinded Pharisee. A man with no vision is just a man existing. That's why my world is music and I proceed with persistence. And I want you all to see shit like me. Borrow my lenses, take a look through my optics. Cause nigga, all I got is six.
That is a collaborative album from Filth Spector and Taylor Dunn, man. So it's on his SoundCloud, man. Check out that album, man, on SoundCloud, man. It's dope, yo. If y'all don't know, man, there is a option on Bandcamp to where you can go to the specific artist Bandcamp page and go ahead and follow them. You don't have to. You can opt in into their email listing to receive an email whenever they put something out new. I know whenever some people receive emails, it's kind of like, damn, you spamming me. But check it out, though. Go ahead and follow each artist that I'm like recommending and doing interviews with, and you know, blasting out to the internets, man, because. You know, a follow on Bandcamp could potentially lead to something bigger and better. So go ahead and follow not only their socials, because you know how algorithms work. Go ahead and follow them directly over at Bandcamp and, and just check them out, man. And then if you open up the Bandcamp app, you can follow on your feed. And whenever they put out something new, an alert, or they'll let you know when they put something out, man, so you don't have to get beat bothered with email, man. But anyway, man, so let me keep going, man. So you're currently based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but you live over the bridge in New Jersey. Can you tell me like what the beat scene is like in that area, or and how can others support you and other beat makers in that area? And then go ahead and feel free to name some PA beat makers. I know Jewel C was on the show already. I already had another artist called, I'm trying to remember his name right now, man. Distant Star. There it is. Distant Star on the show, man. So who else should we be on the lookout for when responding or checking out music?
I'm originally from Philadelphia, but right now I live over the bridge in New Jersey. Unfortunately, I'm not really aware of any type of scene back home in Philly as of now, but I'm sure there is one. There's a lot of music talent in Philly. I know Q Rap No Name is working on getting a Philadelphia chapter of Flip a Beat Club started, hopefully for August. And then another beat maker from Philly I want to shout out is Small Professor. Definitely check out their A John Supreme beat tape series.
So listen, as we get ready to come to a close on this episode of the Rec Show Podcast, episode number 57, man, Phil, I want to ask you, you know, what should the internets look out for from Phil Spector in 2022? And then how can the internets tap into you and your music? And go ahead, you know, plug your socials. Any last comments you want to leave? Any final thoughts? All that type of stuff, bro.
Thanks for having me on the show and for creating this platform for the beat community. Definitely stay tuned for Phil Spector Presents The Sound of Philadelphia Volume 3 dropping later this summer. And be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @Filth_Spector.
All right, yo. That's the episode, everybody, man. I want to say thank you. Love and appreciation to my guests, man. Filth Spector. All right. Philadelphia, well, Jersey based, but Philadelphia born and bred. Beat maker, man. I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for your, you know, just, you know, the quick turn on everything and all of that, man. I want to thank you, the listener. If you made it this far, man, I want to thank you for listening and tapping into the Rec Show Podcast, man. It means the world. You have no clue, no idea what it means. Straight to the heart, you know what I mean? Straight to the heart, man. And, yeah, man. And so we only going up from here, man. Only going up from here. So stay tapped in. Follow the Rec Show Podcast Instagram page. Follow the Rec Show Podcast Twitter page. Follow the Rec Show Podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Spotify, Bandcamp. You can get it on Bandcamp as well. You can become a Bandcamp subscriber. Y'all know the Cash App is open. But yeah, anything given, man, goes directly to the show and helps me to keep making and keep banging these out, man. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna do, man, because I love hip hop, I love beats, I love beat making, and I love the beat makers, man. Y'all give me something to vibe to every single day, man. It don't matter who makes it, I can go through the list and just boom, pick something and just vibe to it whatever I'm doing. So I want to say thank you, man. And yeah, man, I'm going to see y'all on another episode of the Rec Show Podcast, man. Inshallah. Y'all be good to yourself. Be good to each other, man. And yeah, next week is a new one. I'll see y'all later, man. Peace and love, everybody.
Now, you guys are threatening to make it back-to-back hits for now. How do you feel about that one?
Oh, beautiful. You know, thanks to all the beautiful people out there.
Take care of your mentals. Become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
To be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA.